Enough has been said that I should just close in prayer. Praise the Lord. My brother that gave the testimony where he's over there. God is good. God is good. And there's nothing that we can do to outdo God. Praise the Lord for your testimony, my brother. And praise the Lord for your son. I've had a message that I was going to speak for about half an hour, but I don't think I can use half an hour. I don't think I can say anything that was not said before. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read something. It's a song, but I'm not going to sing. And it goes like this. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? And this was leading into the message that I was going to deliver this morning, and that is from Acts chapter 10. So just turn to Acts chapter 10, please. I'm talking to upstairs. I do not want us to read because it's going to take up time. So we're just going to go through the scripture quickly. Before I read, I just want to say a word of prayer. Eternal God and Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how we praise and we magnify your name for who you are. You are indeed a precious God, a wonderful God, the God who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this sin-cursed earth for one specific purpose, and that is for our redemption. Lord God and Father, we thank you for each and every one in here this morning who knows you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, if there's anyone who attend this meeting this morning and are here now and do not know you as their Lord and Savior, we pray, O God, that whatever was said is enough to let anyone who do not know Christ to turn to him. So Lord, whatsoever I'm going to say, Lord, I just pray that I will say what you place in my heart to deliver to anyone who's here who is not a believer. And for the believers who are here, to know that we have a responsibility, and that is to testify to those who do not know you. We give you thanks in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read a portion of this scripture very fast so that I can move on to close this meeting. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one who feared God with all his house. You notice it didn't say with all his heart, with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When you read the first few verses, it appears as if this man was a believer. But he was not. He knows about God. The scripture said he prays and he gives alms to the people around him. But why did the Lord send an angel to tell him to go to Peter? Because Peter was a man of God. One of Jesus' first disciples / apostles. And he sent him, why should he send men to Peter? Peter was one of Jesus' first disciples, I said. And Peter was one in Acts chapter 2 that preached and over 4,000 people got saved in one message. He moved on to Acts chapter 3 where he met a man who was blind, who could not walk. And Peter said he was begging at the temple's gate. And when he saw Peter and John, he asked for alms, for help. Believing that Peter was going to give him something, Peter said unto him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter stretched his hands and helped him so that he could walk. Why did this man need Peter? Because Peter have something that he didn't have. Peter have Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he was going to say something to Peter. And this is what happened. "And now sent men to Joppa and called for one Simon, whose surname is Peter." And he tells you where he lived. And then after the angel went back, Cornelius sent and called Peter. Peter also was having a problem. And I'm going to read it pretty fast. "And when the angels which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devoted soldier of them that waited on him constantly. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went in on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heavens open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice unto him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.' And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common or unclean.' This was done three times. The vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, he behold the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquired for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Why did Peter was called in a situation like this? Let's continue. Then Peter went down. The men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is this call wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and he hear and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morning after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another's nation, but God had showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. To make it short, dear brethren and visitors, Peter was a Jew, and he learned from the Lord Jesus, from God in the Old Testament, what he should have eaten and what he should not have eaten. And Peter remembered that. And God was not telling Peter to eat food. What God was telling him, that he should not call anyone common or unclean. In other words, Jesus, before he was taken up into glory, he told his disciples what they should do, that they should travel throughout the world and preach the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And one of the first places that they should start was at Jerusalem. Where was Jerusalem? Where Peter and all the other apostles were. And Peter preached a message, again, as I mentioned before, that 4,000 Jews were gathered there. And when they heard Peter and the other apostles speaking in an unknown tongue, what some people call speaking in tongues. But Peter and the other apostles were not preaching what people call speaking in tongues today. They were speaking the language of the 4,000 Jews that were gathered there. And they were surprised. They said, these men are not from our country, but we hear, all of us heard them speaking our language. And you know what they said about Peter and the other apostles? They said that they were drunk. But the apostle Peter, the main speaker, said to the Jews, we are not drunk, because it is just the third hour of the day. And every time I read the scripture, I'm saying things that happened over 4,000 years ago are happening today. Very seldom you find a bar open at 9 o'clock. And Peter let them know why they were speaking the language of all the Jews that were gathered. And Peter delivered a message that when the Jews heard it, they said, the scripture said that they were pricked to their heart. In some scripture, some Bible, it was said they were convicted when they heard the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And they said, men and brethren, what must we do? And listen to what Peter said to these multitude of Jews. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You notice Peter did not say baptize and then repent. Everyone that went into this pool, if you are here at a baptism, you would hear the question that it asked. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? And some of them are kids, and so they will answer slowly or quietly. But most of them will shout out, yes, I believe. Because Peter was a gospel preacher. And God knows that Cornelius, yes, he knew about God and he speak to God sometimes, but he was not saved. The people in his house were not saved. His friends around him were not saved. But he knew something about God. And God listened to his prayer and told him to send and call Peter. Peter was having a problem. When he heard that he should kill and eat, Peter said, not me. And Peter said something that none of us as Christians should say. When God speaks to us, we should not and cannot say, not so, Lord. Everything that God says is for our help, for our salvation, and for how we should speak to others. And when Peter realized that he should not say it, that was not because of food to eat. You know, the scripture said that he was hungry. He would need something to eat, but God was not speaking to Peter through what he had. He was telling him that you are needed in Cornelius's part of the world. You know, it took 4 days for the servants from Cornelius to come to Peter and for Peter to go back to them. And when Cornelius told him why he called him, Peter let him know that ordinarily a Jew should not have been kept company with a Gentile. But the scripture said, Paul said it, that when someone saved, whether he be Jew or Gentile, he's no longer a Jew or Gentile. He is a child of God. And this morning I just want to let you know, if you are here, and all that you heard before, I want to tell you this, that God is interested in every one of us. If you are born again, praise the Lord. If you are not born again, you need to be saved. You understand me? Because God sent his son into the world for one specific purpose, and that is to give up his life for us all. It doesn't matter what nation you belong to. We have some friends who today are visiting from the community, and some from where? From where? Australia. It doesn't matter where you're from. Jesus Christ died for your sin. He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. You know why? There is no man on earth that can die for his sin, much more our sins. Why? A sinner cannot die for sin. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, leave glory. God sent him down to this earth to die for sinners. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how good you are, because many of us sometimes we do good things, just like Cornelius. He was doing good things to the Jews and to the people around him. But he was not saved. And when Peter went there and saw him and heard him, and Peter began to witness to him. The scripture said they begin to speak in tongues. Did I mention anyone who speaks in tongues? The 4,000 Jews listened to Peter and the other apostles speak in tongues, but they were not speaking in what you hear some churches saying today without an interpreter. They were speaking the language of the Jews. And when they heard the message of salvation, the scripture said they were pricked to their heart. All that we heard this morning, if you're here this morning when we have breaking of bread, if you do not understand it, it was what Jesus Christ came to this earth for. He gave up his life. His body was bruised for our sins. His blood was shed for our sins. I think the brother who gave thanks for the emblem mentioned that the blood is the life of the flesh. You cannot live without the blood. And when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and gave up his life, one of the things he said before he died, he said, "It is finished." What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about his life was going to be taken from him. For a brief 3 days, he died, he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And Peter mentioned all of this in Cornelius' house. There were many people there. Cornelius was a loving person. He called for his friend, knowing that Peter was coming. And what he, Cornelius, was going to be hearing, he wanted his friends, his neighbors, his family to hear. And Peter said to them, after when they begin to speak in tongues, "Does anyone afraid of baptism?" I add that word there. And they were baptized. They were born again. And I believe in Cornelius' house, or in his community, a church had begun. Just like how the Ethiopian eunuch, after when he was baptized and went to Africa, the scripture said, and many preachers said, that Africa is one of those countries where the gospel is being preached and churches are being built because of one man who heard the gospel and went home rejoicing that he was reading something from the Bible that he didn't understand. And God sent a messenger to meet him and to ask him if he understands what he's reading. And he said to that man, "How can I, except someone should guide me or interpret it to him?" And the preacher went up. He let his chariot stand still. And he went up in the chariot. And he preached Christ to him. And when he reached to a point where he saw the water, he said, "Here is water. What does prevent me from being baptized?" And Philip said unto him, "If you believe, I will baptize you." And you know what he said? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he was baptized. And again I said, he went, after he came out the water, the Holy Spirit called away Philip, and the Ethiopian eunuch went in his chariot, merry, happy, and rejoicing. And he went to his country. And there it is said that there are churches built in Africa more than many other parts of the world. I just want to let you know that this man, Cornelius, he acknowledged the Lord as his personal Savior. And Peter went back, and when they heard that those folks were accepting Jesus Christ, it was a problem. But you know what? The gospel began to preach. Peter explained to them why he went there and what transpired in Cornelius' house. And maybe anywhere that place is today, what Jesus told his disciples to do, we are supposed to do that, believers. Confess and witness to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let them know that the only reason why we are here this morning is because we have been invited by God to come to the breaking of bread service, where Jesus Christ died and his blood was shed. He was buried and he rose again, and he's in heaven. You know what he's doing? talking to God the Father on our behalf. If you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, I'm making it short. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Anywhere you are without God, you are heading for a lost eternity. It's only one of the two places we will be. If you are a born-again Christian, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you die, Jesus Christ, the soul, your soul will be where Jesus is. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, is only one other place you will be, and it is called hell. God will never, never send anyone to hell. It doesn't matter who you are. God will never send you to hell. That's why Jesus Christ, that's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have the Word of God. I could say more, but time is going, and we have a lot of stuff to do here today before we go home. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, all that you hear from our brother who gave the testimony, you wonder, that's how God works. There are things that the doctor cannot do, but God will do it. My wife is here this morning. For over 4 weeks, she didn't come to church because she couldn't walk. And 2 days ago, when I saw her move around in the house, we give God thanks. And this morning, just like last week, she's here. And every time she wakes, I said, how is the foot today? And she said, it is much better than yesterday. Praise be to God. I was going to give you a testimony about her, but I'll leave it for another time. I just make everything short. Because what the most important thing to tell you, I believe there are several here who do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess to him like how those 4,000 Jews, when Peter said, repent and be baptized. And the scripture said in the end of Acts 2, that told them what they should do. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you just quickly, and then I'm going to close. Acts chapter 2. What happened to those Jews who did not know the Lord before? Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words did Peter, testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 4,000, it's really 3,000 souls. And they can listen to the people who did not know God, what they began to do. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Before they met Peter and the other apostles, they did not know nothing about breaking of bread, prayer, and fasting. They did not know nothing about that. But when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is transformed. You become a new person in God. Because you know who is guiding you? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You are transformed. The things that you used to do, you do it no more. Because God is guiding you. Just like how the brother spoke of how he was sick and what the doctors couldn't do. Jesus Christ did it. And they came here, and now you see what they are doing today. Every Sunday when I come after breaking the bread and they play the music and they sing, we give God praise and thanks for them. And I don't think we want them to leave. Whatever the situation, God is going to keep you here in Brooklyn to come to Good Tidings Gospel Hall. Praise be to God. We give you thanks and we pray and ask you to continue to give God thanks. Your wonderful wife who sing, and the children who sing and pray, your sons who give in testimony here, we give God thanks. And for the rest of you, I'm saying again, and then I'm going to close. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please trust him before it's forever too late. I do not know if where you come from that there are people are dying like how they are dying in New York. Every day when it's not sickness in the hospital or something is death. But everyone that dies, if he or she do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have one place to go, and it is called hell. If you are a born again believer, heaven is your home. Praise be to God. Many of us here, I know, I would like to say all of us here, if we die today, heaven is our home. But only God knows who are saved and who are not. If you are not saved, again, give God. Confess your sin. It doesn't take much. Just say, Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know you died for me. Save me for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us close. Eternal God and Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how we thank you and we praise you for who you are. We thank you, O God, for sending your Son Jesus Christ into this sin-cursed earth for one specific purpose, and that is to die on the cross of Calvary for us. Lord God and Father, we know that he was abused. He was beaten. A crown of thorns was pressed on his head. Blood came running down. He was nailed to a cross, and there the nails went through his hands and his feet. Lord God and Father, we cannot, no matter how we see a movie about it, no one can feel what Jesus went through. But you know what he said to his disciples? I am going home, and I will come again for you. And thanks be to God for this place and other places of worship where the gospel is preached. Thank you for those who come to you daily when they realize that they are sinners and need a Savior. And Lord God and Father, if there's anyone in here this afternoon, we pray, O God, that they will not leave through these doors the way they came in, but that they will come to know you. If there's anyone in here who needs salvation, there are several one of us, ladies, brothers and sisters, who will show you from God's word how you can be saved and know it. We give you thanks, O God. We praise your name in and through the word and name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Half of the message, I believe I will deliver another time. But I know we spent a lot of time, and it's time for us to move on to the other things that we have to do today. God bless.
I want to thank the Lord for using our brother for that timely message. We do have a meal provided on the other side, and I've been told everyone is invited to join the sisters as they will be having their meeting later on in person. So you're invited to have join in that meal. So as we would close out, I'm going to ask our young brother Christian Yuta to give thanks for the meal and pray for those who heard the